Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Sports Fitness Wellness, and Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Quick shout out to Bruce Merrin, Celebrity Speakers. You can check him out. Gosh, he's been celebrating his 46th year. I'm honored to be part of his group, Bruce Merrin Celebrity Speakers Bureau. We've got a great doubleheader today, Marisa Valbona. She's a public relations, social media, and brand building specialist. She's joining me along with Marianne Radini Spencer. She's a food lifestyle environmental journalist, author and creator producer of the award-winning PBS TV series and blog Simply Delicious and the Sports Doctors In segment. I'll be sharing my Bob Guida moment in that segment. First, let's welcome Marisa Valbona to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Marisa is the founder and president of CIM Incorporated. You know, Marisa, many times on the Sports Doctor, we talk about the importance of public relations, the whole idea of whether we're talking to an inventor or a coach of a team or parents of athletes, the whole idea of public relations, brand building, et cetera. Give us some background on yourself and your world.
Well, I started my you want my background on my PR firm or just me in general?
Yeah, get both.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Houston, Texas, but I spent my summers in Spain. My father's from Spain. My mother's from Costa Rica, and they immigrated to Houston. So I have three citizenships, which is really a lot of fun because it kind of makes me feel like a spy. So I have three passports, and it's fun to maintain. And so I spent my summers in Spain. I'm fluent in Spanish. I studied in France, and I started my PR firm 31 years ago. And I became interested in PR when I fried an egg on a sidewalk in Houston, and I just got addicted to the news. The egg actually fried because it was so hot in Texas at that time, and we called the news stations. I got on the news. I was only 12 years old, and I decided, you know what, it's a lot of fun to actually find news stories and get them in the news, and I decided that's what I want to do with my life. And I've had so much fun doing it ever since then, representing brands and businesses and helping them tell their stories on the news.
You know, it's interesting, again, on the Sports Doctor, where we might have from superstars to grandmas to nutrition specialists, again, the idea with different athletes talking about the importance of building their brand, the importance of public relations, relationships, all of those things. Now, you've got quite a background as somebody who's involved in fitness and sports, right, Marisa?
Oh, I do. I became addicted to running when I was 12. So around the same time that I fried that egg on the sidewalk, I decided to take up running. And I don't know what possessed me to do it, but it became an obsession for me. And what I would do is I'd wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning before school, and I would run 3 miles every single day. And by the time I was 18 years old, I developed some kind of a huge pain in my ankle, and I ended up having to have surgery. It was the doctor called it tarsal tunnel syndrome, so I had to have tarsal tunnel release surgery. From there, I ended up having a meniscus tear in my right knee that I had to have repaired from a ski injury. Then I had to have, I had an ACL, MCL partial tear, you know, same knee. I had, I broke my tibial plateau, same knee from a ski injury. I still kept on running. I got hit by a car while running when I was 19 years old. First thing I did when I, you know, came to from getting hit by the car was I woke up in the hospital and I asked the doctor, how soon can I start running again? I mean, I was just crazy. I ended up having surgery on my right kneecap because it wasn't tracking correctly. I've developed severe osteoarthritis as a result of all my knee injuries.
Lady, I hope you've got custom orthotics in your shoes. I'll tell you that big time. That's my pearl to you from the Sports Doctor. We're over the years as a foot specialist, 50% of the women and girls I've seen in knee trouble because of foot mechanics related, and a lot of times it's lost, especially in the trauma. We should have you on and talk about perseverance after injury. It takes to come back. And are you still running, by the way?
I had to quit.
Maybe you're a walker now.
Well, I took up surfing. And I'll tell you about perseverance after injury because I took a nosedive on my surfboard and it popped back up and it hit me in the ribs and it broke a couple of ribs. And I just, you know, I was having so much fun surfing. So I did this mind over matter thing that I'm really good at, almost to my detriment. And I still surfed for a whole hour afterward. And if you can imagine laying on a hard surfboard and paddling with broken ribs and then pushing yourself up to pop up on the board, it was so painful. I mean, it was excruciating.
It's a big topic, Marisa, on the Sports Doctor. We call it the mental game, the importance of everything mental. Everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see from international guests, national guests, local guests, all sorts of topics and expertise. Listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an array of articles, a lot of excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, things I've written with Lower Extremity Review. One of my most popular articles is Women and High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. You could check that one out. And again, we have thousands and thousands of followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from both LinkedIn as well as Twitter. And it's at Sports Doc, at Sports DOC Radio. You catch up with us on the Twitter. There's a lot of great information on all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Again, we're talking with Marisa Valbona. She's the president of the CIM Incorporated, the public relations firm, brand building firm. You know, it's interesting. You watch all of these brands, shoes, all of these kinds of things. What are some of the big important points companies and whatever should be paying big attention to when it comes to social media and brand building, Marisa?
Well, I can't really point to one in particular because social media changes so frequently that one company will be doing a great job right now, and then tomorrow Instagram and Facebook change their algorithms, and then they're doing a terrible job. And so that makes it so hard to really keep up with who's doing great right now because they're going to be doing terrible tomorrow. And the best thing to do is just make sure that you're not, I mean, in general, the best advice that I can give for social media is don't be negative on social media. Stay out of politics on social media. Stay out of talking about controversial topics because sometimes companies and brands, they'll want to talk about controversial subjects because they want to jump on the bandwagon. And so they'll get on a rant. And I strongly recommend against doing that because they think, okay, yeah, we're going to increase our engagement. We're going to get a lot of people commenting on this post. And so they'll do that today, but then tomorrow that goes out of fashion and they're going to alienate a lot of people. So I don't recommend ever doing that. Really
bad
idea.
Yeah. Every psychologist and mental expert I have on the show that deals with children as well as adults, youth sports as well as all sorts of activities, makes such a big deal in this, you know, these uncharted waters of the social media. Good luck to all of us. Great, great suggestion, which is please stay away from politics and negativity. You know, when you talk about the importance again of health and fitness and the explosion of weight awareness and all of these kinds of challenges, I would imagine that public relations, you're in the middle of all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we are. And you also have to be careful about making sure that you represent diversity. I've had situations before where I have a client who creates a wonderful film to post on social media, and we review it. The film is fantastic, but then we look at it, and there's a red flag that points to they're probably going to have a diversity issue here. If we send this out, we provide publicity for it, we do the social media for it, it's going to get flagged, and the client risks being canceled. So that's a big issue. 5-10 years ago, it wouldn't have been an issue. Today, it will be. So that's what I'm talking about. There can be a brand or a client who's amazing at social media today, but tomorrow they have a misstep and they're out.
So you Marisa, have to what's be the very best, careful. What's the best website or contact information for you and your group?
CIMINCPR.com. And CIM stands for Cornerstone Integrated Marketing. So if you just go to CIMINCPR.com, and you can contact us there by hitting the contact button. And we just love to help businesses of all sizes.
I understand that one of the things you do is that you teach people how to look amazing on Zoom. Is that true?
It is true. That's one. You know what? That is one of my pet peeves is when I am in a meeting, in a virtual meeting, and I see somebody whose camera is all fuzzy or their background looks terrible. It just takes 2 seconds to find an area in your home or in your office that has a great looking background. You can minimize your space to one little corner in your home or in your office that looks good. You don't have to show your entire background. The other thing is like camera angle. People who are looking down at their computer and we can see up their nose, that's just so horrible. Or the glare. It is true. It's true.
Yeah, it is. Well, who would have thunk it? You know, the pandemic over the past, gosh, almost 3 years already has changed everybody's. You know, it's interesting. There's not a person I talk to, Marisa, from wherever they are in the world, from whatever their vocation happens to be, whatever their profession happens to be, who's not paying huge attention to mental health and all of these tremendous challenges that have hit us, you know, between the eyes. And the idea, you know, people didn't know how to spell the word Zoom X amount of years ago. And now, of course, it's become, you know, whether it's telemedicine and all of this interaction. And the idea of knowing what you're doing, you know, really makes so much sense, especially when you would be talking about the world of public relations. You know, it seems that public relations, again, in big-time sports and public relations, you know, every time I turn on the television, I see Shaq, you know, doing another commercial. But that's a gigantic field, isn't it? That whole idea of the professions, the sports world, and public relations.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. It's huge. And you have to know how. The other thing is you have to know how to interview with the media. If the media ever contacts you and you are called to do an interview on TV or radio or podcast, or what have you, and a lot of podcasts these days are also doing Zoom interviews while they're on podcasts, and you have to know how to do that too, and you have to know how to do it well. On your background, you don't, you know, more than it's upping more than 70% of people prefer to see your real background versus a virtual background. And when you're doing a TV interview, and if you have a bad Zoom background, you're going to lose credibility. And not only that, if you don't have the right lighting. And you only have 7 seconds to make the right impression. So yes, and
that's an interesting stat. That when you think about it, it probably makes a lot of sense. So the first 7 seconds, you got to be paying attention, right?
The first 7 seconds are critical. So think about this. When you're going to a meeting or you're going to see somebody for the first time and you're doing this in person, right? You're going to dress properly. You're going to make sure that you're groomed. You're going to be completely on point. Think about what's happened during the pandemic. So many people are working from home now. So they're doing the bare minimum to get dressed or to tidy up their homes and to be ready for the meeting. They go to their computer, they turn it on, they look into the camera for their virtual meeting, and they might be prepared for the meeting, but they themselves might not be. They might be wearing pajama bottoms and slippers and just put on any old shirt and look halfway decent. That's not being prepared. When you're completely prepared, dressed head to toe, properly groomed, your background is right, your lighting is right, your camera angle is right, you're using a proper ring light behind your camera, your camera angle is correct because you have propped your laptop up to the right height so that your camera is looking down on you slightly, you're going to look fabulous on that Zoom meeting.
Important points. This is why I do live radio. I'm sitting here in a robe and a T-shirt. And,
exactly.
But I'm taking it seriously. Absolutely. But the skills that you're talking about, again, whether it's a sports organization, a parents group, a team, a business, these kinds of inputs are extremely important because, like you said, it's a new world. Who knows who's even, it's like that commercial. The guy said, what's an office? Give us the website again, Marisa, for people to find out about you and all this great work you guys do.
It's CIMINCPR.com.
CIMINCPR.com. Mm-hmm. Marisa Valbona,
right.
Public relations guru. Thanks so much. Hold on, Marisa. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, where it's 0 degrees. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, and we want to welcome Marianne Radini-Spencer. She's a food, lifestyle, and environmental journalist. She's an author and a creative producer of the award-winning PBS TV series and blog, Simply Delicious. She's the president of Radini Entertainment Corp. Marianne, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi.
Great to have you on, and I'd like you to give me some background of you leading into your nutrition interest in Simply Delicious.
Sure. You know, I started my career wanting to make movies, and I knew I would have to move to Hollywood to do that. I was living on the East Coast at the time, and I really just came out and looked for work, and I got a job. I was very lucky working for CNN as a producer-writer. I had a lot of TV experience in my college days with a local station, and that served me very well. But I didn't know exactly how I was going to start making movies. And one job led to another. And I did discover that as an independent producer, I had to do some optioning of projects. And that's really how I started. And I started creating things. And I created Simply Delicious Living out of my passion for writing, doing lifestyle writing, as well as creating recipes. And entertaining. I love that.
Didn't you produce or get involved and create that movie with Betty White?
Yeah.
What was the co-star with her?
It was Jennifer Love Hewitt and Betty
White.
The Lost Valentine.
What a combo you were able to put together. I'll tell you, my gosh, the famous Betty White.
I love her.
Writing it as a journalist. And, you know, the interest, we talk so much on the Sports Doctor. Nutrition's a gigantic topic. You can't turn on the TV for 5 minutes without seeing another diet commercial. The only commercials more than diets are probably medicines in the United States. And we are treading water in the world of obesity.
Yeah.
In the world of childhood obesity. Childhood obesity I've been featuring for 25 years, give or take a few weeks. And we're still treading water. It's a gigantic challenge. And the idea, again, of paying attention to recipes, paying attention to how important some of these things are. What are some of the big principles that you found really successful with your PBS world and Simply Delicious?
You know, really, it's not that difficult if you really think about it, because it's eating healthy. And what is that? Lots of color on your plate, you know, whole grains, lean fish and meat, drinking certain amount of water, but, you know, a balanced plate. There's a fabulous website, besides people going to my website at simplydeliciousliving.com, choosemyplate.gov is an incredible website that tells people and shows people at different ages what they should be eating. But really, a healthy plate, about 50% fruits and vegetables, 25% protein-rich foods, and another 25% fiber-rich carbohydrates. But I always tell people, read labels. If you see something on a label that you can't pronounce or is a long word that you've never seen before, it's probably not a good thing to eat that food.
No, the idea is nobody could understand and figure out what they are. It's like watching a commercial where all the writing is so small you can't even see it. Yet, the new health and new medicine today, Marianne, is number one, eat smarter.
Yes.
And number two, keep moving. Stay active.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the pandemic has probably multiplied by 25 to 33% the obesity concern with children because of all of this lack of activity and everybody being locked in and all of these other kinds of challenges, let alone the mental challenges. But the my sports nutrition friends, you know, they use the term fueling the body, which seems mm-hmm. to be a great term compared to talking about the word diet, you know?
Absolutely. I don't think diets work. I think you have to have a healthy lifestyle. And you can do that by just eating whole foods and eating what's farm to table in season. Avoid all the processed foods. You have to shop your cabinets and your refrigerator. What's in there? It shouldn't be lots of diet products, for one. It's not a lot of sodas. But you want to have things that have less sugar. You need to read your labels. You need to make sure you're eating whole foods and grains. And it's so easy to do that. I just think it takes a little bit of time and maybe research and looking and actually looking at what you're eating. Sometimes with the pandemic, people are just eating because they're frustrated. But are you hungry? Is your stomach telling you that you're hungry? And what you said before about moving, that's also very important. But when you're eating right and you're eating lots of good food, you're going to find that you feel better and you have a better outlook. And because of that, you'll be more productive and you'll have a better mental attitude. You won't be as depressed.
I guess, again, when you talk about one of your titles, you know, food lifestyle and environmental journalist, mm-hmm. You're really adding all of these things in what you're talking about, you know, activity,
yes.
as well as, you know, being aware, paying attention, being educated. You know, the old three meal a day philosophy, does that still make any kind of sense?
Well, to some people it does, because I do believe it may not, you're not going to be gorging yourself at those meals, but I think that you do need to have balanced meals and then a healthy snack in between. How about having some cut-up fresh vegetables in your fridge with some hummus? Or take a handful of pistachios or walnuts. Those are, it's very healthy and it's filling. And those are the kind of snacks that you want to have readily available. Or even a piece of fruit. Maybe you get your fruit during snack time. You know, I do think that it's important to keep on a schedule. And you might even have small meals if you're not into, you know, sitting down, or if you're on the run, have a few small meals. You know, instead of three, you might do four or five. But I'm not talking about eating lots of things at those meals. You know, you can space it out and you'll find out what works for you. But I do believe that if you're eating healthy and you're not gorging yourself, you know, you're stopping when you're full, but you're eating lots of vegetables.
Yeah, portions is a big deal, isn't
yes.
it? It's really about educating all of us to the fact, again, you know, the all-you-can-eat philosophy that we all grew up with, you know, occasionally at these places, whatever it was, all you can eat. And it just gave this kind of mindset that I think it kind of never left us in a lot of ways. Like, you know, the more the better. And this
you know,
kind of crazy
yes.
information. What's
and I
the
think
best
that
website?
We have to,
What's
you know,
the best
actually,
website, Marianne, for your Simply Delicious? What's the best way to access your show?
You can go to simplydeliciousliving.com or my name, MarianneRodiniSpencer.com. I have a YouTube channel. You could watch my videos there. But if you go to simplydeliciousliving.com, that's my blog, and it brings you to my website where I prepare healthy meals and have lots of great recipes.
You know, it's interesting. One of my former guests, Sally Sampson, was the founder, creator of Chop Chop Magazine, which is probably in half of the pediatricians' offices around the country. She would talk so much about families cooking together, getting the kids participating, making it fun, all of these kinds of things really make something that we've always found very, very successful when we were talking with families and their youngster athletes and this whole idea of proper nutrition and the fact that if we can get these kids involved, as well as in the physical activity side, whether the family is going to the gym together or they're going, you know, for walks together, all of these things, you know, make, you know, so much sense. And there's such a, again, the reality is we are still losing ground when it comes to, you know, these statistics, which, you know, how healthy are we? You know, the explosion of diabetes in our population.
I have a feeling, you know, when that's happening, I think people are eating a lot of fast foods. They don't realize how much fat and salt and sugar are in some of those foods. If you read labels, you know, sugar's in everything. Things that it really shouldn't or doesn't have to be in. But if you're eating whole foods, that's not going to happen to you. And I think that a lot of kids, they'll eat snacks and they'll eat chips and all kinds of things that aren't necessarily that great for them. But you can find wonderful substitutes for things that you love. And that's what I also love helping people with. Like if you love a certain type of pizza, I can show you how to make it healthier, you know, with less fat and using all natural ingredients. And I think when families, like you said, when they eat together, when they're creating a meal together, parents can talk to their kids about what they like. And then work and chop up some vegetables together, you know, sit down and have a great conversation over dinner. And it will become, mealtime is such a wonderful time for families to connect. And we need that connection in this technological age. I know growing up for me in a big Italian-Irish family, it was really important. Dinner was fabulous. We got to find out what everyone did during the day and certain dreams and hopes. And it was wonderful. And I think that people need to connect that way.
I absolutely agree. And one of the sideshows with childhood obesity is the world of bullying. Obesity is still the number one reason that there's bullying with children. The number two reason is disabilities. Number three might be sexual orientation. But the idea, again, of the whole world of weight-related concerns with some of these kids and the fact that, again, that they are, you know, not eating very, very healthy. Heck, we had to rename type 2 diabetes to, you know, include childhood obesity. Childhood obesity, no one ever paid attention to it. Now, and all the concerns with it, the high blood pressure and the heart concerns. And again, if we don't make changes to this, we will go broke. We can't afford to bring up millions and millions of kids and young adults who are all fighting, you know, weight-related issues.
No, you're
absolutely talk more
right.
about this.
You're absolutely
Let's talk more
right.
about this. We're talking to Marianne Radini Spencer, and we're going to ask her about her entertainment group when we come back, the creator of the PBS Simply Delicious. And we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. With the Sports Doctor is in article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. everybody. We're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm the Dr. Bob Weil. We are talking the world of nutrition, et cetera, with food, lifestyle, environmental journalist, and author Marianne Radini Spencer. We were talking about the childhood side of things and the challenges, tremendous challenges of childhood obesity. Marianne, what do you think? How are the schools doing in general regarding school lunches and school eating? Have they made real positive progress? I thought they'd made some. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I think each school is a little bit different and varies. But I think as a parent, I would want to know what's on the menu at my child's school. But it comes at home first. Parents have got to learn themselves how to create a healthy plate and what goes, why it's healthy, you know, and what portions of whole grains and fruits and vegetables and that kind of food that kids should be eating. And they should tell their children why you should eat that way, because you're going to feel better. It's going to help you as you age and get older. You know, you'll be fit. It'll help you with sports. It'll make you more productive in school. And really get them involved, like we talked about earlier, creating a meal, cooking their favorites in a healthy way, learning how to make food with herbs and spices and less sugar and less salt and less fat. And then when they go to choose, you know, a hot lunch or a cold lunch at school, they'll look and they'll start to question, well, do I want to eat that deep fried thing? Well, yes, they may, but then they have to know what that does to them. So they understand. So it's not just, there should be healthy alternatives. And if there aren't, maybe that's something to take up with the school, you know, and the local PTA and find out who.
Yeah, that's all we need. All we need is another reason for parents to be screaming at the school meeting. You know what I mean? Hey, I have another one now. Besides masks and everything else people are screaming and ranting and raving about. Marianne, tell us, you know, you're the president of the Radini Entertainment Corporation. Tell us about your entertainment. What are you involved in? I know you're an author, you're producer of shows. What are you up to?
You know, I started the company as a PR marketing firm, and we still do a lot of PR marketing for major brands. But I did that deliberately after leaving the studio system so I could devote some time to create content for TV, for film. And like we talked about earlier, I did a Hallmark Hall of Fame. I did The Lost Valentine with Betty White. But I've worked with CNN doing many entertainment shows for many years and different outlets. I've also produced a lot of movies that I've found and brought to the screen for Showtime, the Movie Channel, Sci-Fi Network, working with a lot of other writers and producers, and then developing my own projects. And Simply Delicious Living, which is on PBS TV in Southern California, but I have a YouTube channel, is also comes out of that creating spirit. You know, I love to create content. I love to entertain, but also educate. And as a food and lifestyle and environmental writer, it's Simply Delicious Living kind of encompasses all of that because it's what I love. It's my passion. I love cooking and entertaining, but I really enjoy eating healthy because I've seen the difference it's made in my life. So I try to help people make their creative recipes.
Absolutely. You'll let me know when you want to visit on your YouTube from the Sports Doctor. Are you in the right shoe? What about your son or daughter? What about sports injuries? You know, all of these kinds of things that are so important in trying to stay out of trouble as well as to be healthy and to stay active is a very, very important part of, you know, a healthy lifestyle with all the different challenges. So what are some of the topics that, again, I think Simply Delicious, very, very self-explanatory. What are some of the other topics that you're passionate about, that you're writing and producing things in?
Well, you know, in terms of my writing, my novels, which, you know, I have a Kate Grace novel series, which takes place in Hawaii, as well as different other areas of the world. I love Hawaii. I love living aloha, living in the aloha spirit, because that just encompasses a lot of wonderful things for me. Not only mindful of nature and taking care of nature, but taking care of our neighbors, our community, our ohana, which is family. And when I visited Hawaii many years ago for the first time, now I go all the time, I fell in love with the islands just because of how they entertain with their family and friends and how they care for the earth. And they really, living aloha just means respect and love and kindness. And I think we need more of that in the world. And so I try to...
times a thousand. Yes.
Yeah.
What a great title. What a great label, living aloha. I don't know if anybody who hears that wouldn't put a smile on their face.
I know.
You
right?
know, what I picture when you said that is the people getting off the plane with the laser around their neck. All those commercials. Welcome to Hawaii. But, you know, again, the mind-body connection is mm-hmm. a big deal on the Sports Doctor, whether we're talking about physical aspects like a yoga, or we're talking, again, about high-performance training, visualization, et cetera, et cetera. And what used to be considered semi-voodoo 10, 20 years ago now is mainstream mindfulness, the importance of how much this has to do with people's health and wellness or with their performance, you know,
exactly.
whether they're in a company or whether we're talking about the highest level of sports and the crazy challenge of what we pay so much attention to, which is youth sports. And all of those challenges.
Well, eating right is so important when you're playing sports. And it's just important in life in general, not only for your sustainability of your own health and longevity, but it makes you, when you're eating right, and that is whole grains, less sugar, less salt, less saturated fat, you know, sometimes meatless meals are good.
We were talking about new attitudes, quote unquote, that are so important when it comes again to health and wellness, paying attention to the healthy eating. So in Simply Delicious, is it, what's the title? Simply Delicious Lifestyle?
Living. Simply Delicious Living.
Okay. How long have you been doing Simply Delicious Living?
You know, it's probably about 10 years now, because it was in Ventura County Star, part of the USA Today Gannett Syndicate for a number of years, and before that, Time Warner Cable, and now it's on PBS and Direct and Dish Network, too, and YouTube.
Yeah, the crazy world of YouTube in that regard. It's great to see coaches and parents paying attention to the importance of proper eating if your son or daughter is going to be participating for their energy levels and for their performance, and it ends up that you're right smack in the middle, right next to me. You're an educator, right?
Yes, I think I come from a family of educators, and although I didn't pursue that as a teaching profession, I find that I do a lot of that with my writing and with what I'm doing now in terms of media.
You know, and again, the combination of those various ideas and the environment, the importance of nature, and again, the idea of the world of nutrition. And one of the things that really stands out when you said, have a colorful plate, have colors. Mary Ann, give us again the best site for people to find out about you and all your work, your novels, Simply Delicious. Give us those sites.
You can go to simplydeliciousliving.com. You can also go to Mary Ann, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, Radini, R-I-D-I-N-I, Spencer.com. And I'm on Amazon. All my books are on Amazon, and they have some of my blog feed there as well. And on YouTube, they can just search Mary Ann Radini Spencer or Simply Delicious Living. My channel is under my name, and I love all the things that I do on that channel, because it's not just cooking, but I also talk about life.
Thank you so much for joining us. Hold on, Mary Ann. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sports Doctors In segment. A little preview of some upcoming shows. and what I want to call my Bob Guida moment, where I share some of his insight and genius in so many different areas. The late sports therapist Bob Guida. Next week, Jake Schwartz is going to talk magic, the physical demands of magicians. Dr. Kerry Forrestal talking about cancer, crushing cancer. You know, Guida, he made such a big deal about balance training. We used to have this term, instability training. I use it to this day, where the concept would be to create imbalance, whether you would picture somebody balancing on a mini tram with one foot at a time, standing on tilt boards, balancing on the sand dune or the Bosu, creating instability and demanding balance and strength from all the stabilizers of the body. Bob would use the example of saying, if we put sensors on every muscle you got and we have you stand on one foot or balance on an unstable surface, every muscle will light up as your body is stabilizing and working on creating balance from imbalance. Years ago, we'd walk into Sports Fitness Institute or Sports Performance and Rehab Institute. We'd see great athletes, members of the Bears, the tennis world, walking on an unstable balance beam, holding on to different weights, and being challenged with these kinds of structural instabilities, playing catch while balancing on a trampoline, learning to move to different areas, stressing different areas of the body. This has become very, very mainstream, knock on wood, the whole idea of balance training. We talked about that with the creator of the whole Balance Educational Center with physical therapy last week, Brian Werner, and the fall prevention and the idea of trying to prevent injury and problems. And this, again, was one of the concepts that, as long as I knew Bob over the decades, whether he was working with an 11-year-old figure skater or a high jumper or the Olympic volleyball team, he was including balance exercises. Many times with eyes closed, different types of positions where, again, you would be, he'd call it strengthening the brakes. Think of a tennis player swinging a tennis racket 500 times a week. And Bob talking about strengthening and working the opposite muscles that stabilize or help to slow those kinds of repetitive motions down. So balance training, instability training, one of the great legacies of our great friend, the late Bob Guida. I think I got time for an email here. Phil says, what's the role of orthotics? You know, Phil, proper custom orthotics made from a cast impression of the foot in what's called neutral position, a non-weight-bearing alignment of the foot ankle, really incorporates a few different principles. One is proper support. Another one is optimum proper alignment. And other is proper positioning. You know, the foot's a complicated mechanism. It has two different kinds of motions called pronation, supination, where the foot acts as a shock absorber, adapts to the ground during pronation, acts as a stable mechanism to push us off in the term that's called supination. So many times the role of orthotics is to try to capture optimum positioning and have the joints functioning in their most optimum position. And this increases efficiency, less stress and strain. Many times less stress and strain up the whole lower extremity. Now, what you buy in a store is not a custom orthotic. Custom orthotic is made from molds of the feet, sometimes casts or scans today of the feet and ankles. Again, in order to incorporate, I like flexible plastics. They could be unbreakable, They can be extremely forgiving and flexible. And we find all ages benefit from orthotics, from toddlers on up. So this is something that you really want to look at, especially if you're dealing with persistent lower extremity problems, you or your kids or your young athletes, your feet and ankles, your shins, your knees, hips, low back. When these areas are persistent problems, foot mechanics are very, very important to be paid attention to. This is when orthotics can make a tremendous difference. As an example, 50% of the girls I've seen over the years and over the decades, whatever the sports, would have knee concerns. Not knee injuries, knee concerns, knee problems. Often orthotics are very, very helpful. So this is something you really want to go to sports podiatry. Podiatry is the best profession. Physical therapy can help. Hopefully today, I know we had some glitches with the timing. I want to thank everybody for participating. Thank our guests, Marianne Radini-Spencer, Marisa Valbona. It's the Sports Doctor. See you next week. Thank you.